Hello and welcome to the Spirit World Center. The following is the Spirit World Center podcast. If you have any questions about the spirits or training, you can visit our website at spiritworldcenter.com. And now, please enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Spirit World Center. Today we're doing the astrology for the month of May. And of course, we are joined by the wonderful Alexandra Blair.
Hey Eric, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, it's doing good. April just flew by and I'm hoping that, well, in the pre-interview, you assured me that if you're already got the ball rolling on things, May's going to be good. So I'm looking forward to this month, I got to say. And we're recording on the 6th. Unfortunately, some issues came up that we had to be a little later getting this one up. So May 6th. But I think it's going to be a good month. So I'm very optimistic. Yes, it's going to be good. How have you been?
I've been doing pretty well. April was pretty, you know, fast-paced. It was all the things we thought for eclipse season in the Aries time of the month and total solar eclipse. It honestly, I even just saying that, I'm like, wasn't that 6 years ago? But no, it was less than a month ago. So yeah, we all kind of survived the real energetic new year, which is what is kind of typically associated with Aries season, but this year, especially so with those eclipses there. And the end of that month where we talked about, you know, Mars and Saturn conjoining in Pisces. So really the most turbulent, let's say, and not necessarily negative, but certainly fast-paced and maybe chaotic or disruptive or surprising part of the month, including the end there with a Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. So like kind of all that stuff happening in April, and then hilariously, on the last day of April, Mars kind of just waltzes right in to the world on fire in the Aries part of our charts. So that's kind of just setting the stage for us to begin thinking about May, which kind of had a slow start, thankfully, because as you said, we're recording a couple days late.
Yeah, it's crazy how that total eclipse of April already just has receded in my memory. Like it's like, it feels like it was so long ago.
Yeah.
And such a powerful memory, you know, we saw it with the naked eye, but I think it's definitely brought about a lot of transformation in my life since that happened. Things feel different, I gotta say, to a large degree for me. So I'm hoping that, that carries on. Yeah. So,
yeah. You know, I think a lot of clients, friends, family, listeners I've talked to have had a similar experience. And the interesting thing about eclipses specifically is that they're pretty difficult to predict because they're just so surprising and not necessarily tappable, right? Like in the history of astrology, we have things like remediation or making talismans. There are ways to get in touch with planetary energies and try your best to work with them or against them. The eclipses really are tectonic shifts, tidal wave shifts of energy, things that change not necessarily in our control at all. So they don't always manifest as expected. And I've had a number of clients kind of reach out and go, hey, you know, we thought this might manifest in this way, but this is actually what's happening. Can you explain why? There's always some, you know, reason like, oh, Venus is there or it's squaring this, but it can just feel like a pretty surprising, you know, shift in things. And I definitely felt that too. And to your point about kind of things receding quickly, that is just so spot on for Aries, which is a cardinal fire sign. It's like comes on hot flame, ball of flame all at once, but then sort of just vanishes up into the sky in a way where you're like, did I even see that? Did that even happen?
You know, what came to mind, I was just thinking about the meaning of an eclipse and why it might be so powerful. And I wonder if it's because, obviously, the sun is the self, right? And the moon, it's kind of the unconscious mind, it's the emotions. So it really makes me wonder if it can stir up a lot, because you basically have the self almost coming into contact with that mental and emotional aspect of the person. I don't know.
It's... Absolutely. And once you put in the moon's nodes in as well, which is part of the sort of like astronomical framework for the eclipses, you're getting things that have significations of, you know, life's purpose to work towards this, life's purpose to leave this behind type rhetoric. And so, yes, you can absolutely see why it becomes so significant. And I would love if any, you know, listeners are kind of outside the path of totality. I think most of the listeners of the show are in North America, but if you're somewhere else, I would love to hear, you know, your experience, just because I think it would probably be significantly less dramatic just because of those ancient significations we talked about, where things that we can see with the naked eye are typically more overt and manifest in a more palpable way in our lives.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I can definitely feel it. So yeah, I would love to hear other people's experiences for sure.
Yeah, any eclipse experiences, honestly, if you want to send me your charts or just send me your info or just send me some notes about it, I have loved hearing from clients and friends what's been going on for them, especially just because we had that Mercury retrograde and the Mars Saturn. It was a potent little April we all had, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think I have a Mercury retrograde hangover as well, because I don't know. I've been missing meetings and stuff over the last week. And
well, you are a Gemini rising. Before, so. Mercury rules your life.
There we
go.
It's a hangover. Literally, yeah. Yes. It's a... Oh, boy. Well, I suppose we should jump into the month of May then. So where do we start off?
Yeah. So first things first, we have this very slow period at the start of the month. We've missed a few days of that because we're recording a little late. But at the start of the month, we have Pluto stationing retrograde. That's something I mentioned just because it is basically the last time in, certainly in our lifetimes, unless some crazy medical things happen, which I guess is possible. That Pluto will be in Capricorn, because after this final retrograde, it kind of dips back into Capricorn and then it goes back into Aquarius, and it will be stationed in Aquarius until 2043. And Pluto takes obviously quite a long time through the signs. So typically, you know, in a human lifetime, we get 3 or 4 Pluto transits like this. So we talked about this all the way back on the 2023 year ahead. We also talked about it again on the 2024 year ahead. And I think specifically in, you know, February of each of those, and February particularly 2024, had some real clues as to what's going on with your Pluto area of your chart as it moves into Aquarius. But basically, this is the last bit of it. It just dips back into the last degree of Capricorn, 29 degrees. And then it kind of comes back. So expect a little like kiss on the lips from Pluto in Capricorn. That's going to be happening late, a little later this year, that last degree, because it just kind of stations retrograde in Aquarius. But Pluto is a planet that brings major, slow moving, but major transformations, death and rebirth cycle, the slow tilling of the earth and decomposition and sort of like new growth phenomenon. And that's coming all, you know, to the Aquarius part of our charts. If you have planets in Aquarius, much more so than anyone else, this is going to impact you, those Pluto transits. So go back, take a listen to the 2023 year ahead, take a listen to February 2024. We talked about that, or shoot me an email, of course. But if you have planets in Capricorn, or if you are, you know, like a Capricorn rising or something, you are going to get one last little touch of this Pluto business. And that's going to happen kind of throughout this year. One last note before we kind of leave that topic. The outer planets are not typically very significant in our personal lives. Typically, we see personal influence in the inner planets, the faster moving planets. So Pluto, Uranus, and Neptune are not typically, you know, planets that we would associate with big events happening in our life. They refer more to eras of life and epochs of our life. And so it can be useful to look at for that. And on that same note, you know, the outer planet retrogrades happen for 6 months a year, basically, on average. So we spend half the year with those in retrograde. So this is not like a Mercury retrograde where everyone's impacted and it happens really fast, or even like a Mars retrograde, which has a cycle we can follow over time. These are natural parts of the year where we are kind of ebbing and flowing with these seasons. So with all that being said, on May 2nd, Pluto stationed retrograde, and it will be there retrograde until October 11th, and then it will kind of move forward again. And in basically by mid-November, it will be in Aquarius for the next 19 years, if my math is right.
Very interesting. Wow. And I know that the age of Aquarius is the precession of the equinoxes. So I believe we're really about 300 years away from really being in that kind of age of Aquarius. But do you feel like we could use Pluto in Aquarius to make our own little age of Aquarius in our lives?
Absolutely. Lots of spiritual people and astrological people are talking about this, and specifically wondering if, you know, there's been sort of a boom in the spiritual media and just spiritual interest, esoteric interest, even, you know, so far as new agey or astrological. There's just been this boom, really going back to, like, I think around 2017, but for sure in the past few years. And so there's a lot of people going, is this going to stick? Because Aquarius is one of those eccentric, out there, aloof, but curious and investigatory type signs that can kind of go to these places. So I think we're going to find out the answer to that question in the next 19 years for sure.
The times are changing. They are even making a tarot horror movie. That's going to be interesting.
Oh.
Might be by the same guys who did Ouija. So that would be interesting.
Okay, fun.
Yes, a cursed tarot deck. That's going to be curious.
Yeah, the times, you know, we can say it again for the people in the back, like the times are changing. I can't tell you how many, you know, people of a monotheistic Abrahamic religion I have encountered who have a monotheistic Abrahamic religion tarot deck that has very thinly coded, you know, suits and names and archetypes that I enjoy seeing it. I'll put it that way.
Or at the very least, an oracle deck, right? Which is kind of the gateway drug to tarot. So
yes, yeah. Definitely. The angel cards, the angel decks. It's all part of the journey. But I agree with you that times are changing. And I do think in the next 20 years with Pluto and Aquarius, we're going to see that calcify one way or another. And I think we're going to see Pluto transits typically represent fears bubbling up and tensions bubbling up that are then, of course, addressed and resolved and kind of moved past in a way. But I think probably this is one of those that we're going to see things start bubbling up, fears, some sort of, like, you know, people fighting against certain things and the mainstreaming of certain things. But we'll find out one way or another for sure.
We sure will. Yeah. Yeah. Wonder if true artificial intelligence will have a spiritual bent to it. Maybe it'll have all the answers. I don't know. No, we'll have to find out. So after Pluto goes retrograde at the beginning of the month, where do we go from there?
Yeah. So the first real transit of the month is on the 7th of May, and it is a new moon in Taurus. So this is kind of a cool and exciting new moon, and I'm grateful for this sort of slower month in a way, because we are able to actually talk about the new and full moons. We don't always have the airtime for that, but here we do. And I'll talk about this as sort of a series of transits, and it all kind of starts with the new moon in Taurus. There really is a lot of manifesting power in the Taurus area of everyone's chart this month. Definitely take a look at what planets are in Taurus for you. Take a look at where in your chart Taurus is so you can see what topics it's going to affect. But this is a part of everyone's life that has really been hammered from October 2021 to October 2023. Difficult, like arbitrage during that time. And in the past 6 months, maybe feeling some of that easing up, but some surprising developments, some new growth of life. Taurus area of the chart is a lot to do with growth in the agricultural sense. And so you can imagine that time period of October 2021 to October 2023 as a raising of the ground, a real like burning of all the crops and tilling the earth anew. And so now we're feeling some of those sprouts coming up in that Taurus part of the chart, especially in April and now especially in May. So this Taurus area of the chart is going to have a stellium of planets moving into it, and Venus is included. And Venus rules Taurus. So Venus, we can think of Venus as hosting all of these planets and playing the loving host, which actually really improves the standing of all these other planets. So this new moon in Taurus, I think, is a very powerful opportunity for us to put forth some intentions, whether that's to ourselves or whether that's like sort of to the universe or to deity or whatever is required of us, but to put forth some intentions for ourselves for this month. As Eric mentioned, April moved really fast. If your life is moving fast, this isn't going to slow it down. Your life's going to stay moving fast, but it is going to add some nice stuff to it. So if you can kind of slow the roll of your snowball for a sec to throw some intentions out, you might find that by the end of the month, you've picked up those things that you put out there for. So all of that to say that the 7th of May, the new moon in Taurus, is a great opportunity for manifesting and putting forth intentions for this month of manifestation. And that's going to kind of carry us through the end of May, which turns into sort of like a Gemini era. But especially through May 20th. So May 7th through May 20th is like great, 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 great. Still pretty good till May 23rd, but after May 23rd, the focus just shifts to something else. So if you can use this new moon, I think you can really pick up some cool stuff along the way.
So with this period that started October of 2021, would you say that's kind of like a drought since then that's finally coming back to life? Or is it more that we've been sowing the seeds throughout since 2021?
It dramatically depends on what is happening in the Taurus part of your own chart for this one. That's not true for every transit, but that period that I talk about, October to October, 2021 to 2023, was a series of eclipses and really just difficult looking transits. And the sort of difficult part of that is that Jupiter was in Taurus for the end of that. So it would have been easy to look at that and think, oh, this ends in a unequivocally positive way, but it really hasn't for everyone that I know who has Taurus parts of their chart. Some people were totally devastated by what happened at that time and are just now kind of rebuilding. But I think that if you look deep, it's mostly what you're saying about planting of seeds, small seeds planting, and it might have felt totally devastating, especially because Taurus is a fixed earth sign. It is the least movable, least adaptable to change, does not like to be shaken from its comfort zone. So that part of everyone's charts, not just Taurus people, but that little slice of all of our life is our little comfort zone where we don't really like to be disrupted. And so it might just feel like that was totally chaotic. That was crazy. Everything happened and it was negative and blah, blah, blah. And maybe in hindsight, we're going to look back and be able to see, oh, I did sow those seeds and they did come to fruition at this time or eventually.
Perfect. All right. Well, that's very interesting. All right. So where do we move on to from there then?
Yeah. Right after that, about a week later on the 15th of May, we have Mercury entering Taurus. So Mercury, we talked about last month, had a retrograde through basically the entire little eclipse series all the way through Aries and then all the way back. And now Mercury will enter Taurus. And I'm grateful for this kind of slower month because I get to kind of go back to our roots of just describing the planets and what they bring to everyone's life. So Mercury is that planet of communication and intellect and curiosity, and also associated with travel and commerce and fast-moving things. And Taurus is a fixed earth sign. So it is really concerned with slowing things down. It's also concerned with material and sensual pleasure and security. And so Mercury here is going to have our curiosity and our mental focus thinking about the things that sustain us and the things that please us and what we really want and what kind of comforts we have or want, and not necessarily luxuries, just comforts. This is going to be especially true just because Venus is there in Taurus, and Taurus is, you know, her home and her domicile. So this is just an example of kind of a transit that is showing how this focus of the Taurus part of our chart is going to bubble up for us. The transits are just kind of where things turn exact. So they're helpful little milestones in the month, but that energy is going to be basically running from new moon through the time that the sun moves into Gemini.
Okay. A lot of opportunity there for doing certain things. How do you feel that someone can really tap into that and use it in their life?
Yeah, I think if we're talking about an opportunity day, I'll just jump ahead 3 days from there. So Mercury goes into Taurus on May 15th. And on the 18th of May, we have a Jupiter Kazemi in Taurus. So Jupiter Kazemi means that Jupiter and the sun are directly conjoined. They are at 0 degrees of each other in the sky. And Kazemi is an old Arabic word meaning in the heart of. So Jupiter is in the heart of the sun. This is actually just a cute moment. And whenever these things happen, Kazemis, the two planets that conjoin, the sun and whatever else, really supercharge each other. And I think this is kind of speaking to your question, which is how can people kind of use this? This would be a great day to use these energies. Again, for manifesting, for sure, this is just a good day. Jupiter is a planet that represents expansion, abundance, higher learning, everything that expands our mind and like sort of our intellectual and our physical horizons. And the sun really represents radiance and our vitality and our ego and our just our general life force. So these two planets coming together, you can imagine, I actually kind of think this is giving me the same energy as like a Golden Gate day. It's just, it feels like a little bit of a portal, if you'll allow this new age energy to slip in, where people can really do some manifesting or charging or claiming of energies, but anything especially looking towards restoring or recharging that like vitality, life force, energy, abundance, and expansion of the self and the mind.
That's fantastic. I'll definitely have to plan to do something on that day. That's wonderful. Wow.
Yes. It's a great day.
Fantastic. All right. And so what's next in this roller coaster of a month?
Yeah. So right after the 18th, where we have that Jupiter Kazemi, which is kind of like the high point of manifestation, I'll just underscore that date again, just because that is like the best day this month to actually do whatever kind of working you need to do to get what you want, especially in the Taurus part of your chart or impacting any planets you may have in Taurus. Because right after that, on the 20th of May, we have the sun entering Gemini. So the sun is actually the first planet to enter Gemini right now because Mercury is coming off its retrograde. And this is the signal of a shift that's happening this month that is completed at the end. We'll get there, but Jupiter kind of comes into Gemini and that's a year-long transit. But the 20th of May is when the sun enters Gemini. So before that is really that manifestation period, 7th of May through the 20th of May. Just throwing that out there one last time for everybody. But when the sun enters Gemini, we are kind of seeing a little bit of a light leaking in under the door for people who have Gemini placements. And this is kind of like something is coming for Geminis in a way. And we're going to start seeing the light leaking in under the door when the sun comes into Gemini. By the end of the month, we have Jupiter entering Gemini, where it will be for a year. And that's going to be a more major indication of the transformation that's coming there. But on the 20th of May, we get that first little piece. And the sun, as I mentioned, is really about life force, radiance, vitality, the ego, in some ways, maybe our life's purpose. It can be that as well, or a version of us in the future. And Gemini is a Mercury ruled sign of just curiosity and dalliance and impulsivity and intuition and intellectual prowess. And Gemini is a mutable or double-bodied air sign. So it kind of really moves and goes and flexes and changes. So the sun is going to be the first indicator of things that shift for us at the end of this month. We still have a couple days right after the sun enters Gemini, but after the 23rd, it's kind of like it's Gemini season right there.
And so will that be affecting everyone, I guess? It probably based on where Gemini is in their chart, right?
It will definitely depend on where Gemini is in your chart. That's just an answer that I have to give, but I do hate to say that because it's just a nothing answer. If you have planets or placements in Gemini, this is going to impact you significantly more because for the next year, from May of this year until May of next year, June even of next year, Jupiter will be transferring across those planets. Jupiter is a yes-saying planet. Jupiter likes to say yes to things and bring things into our lives and expand our horizons and our minds. So, in a sense, it depends, but in another sense, it's definitely going to impact anyone who has a Gemini area of their chart, which is everyone. So you can take a look at where Mercury is in your chart and the condition of Mercury. That gets a little into intermediate and advanced technique. But if you'd like me to weigh in, you can send me an email and I'll just shoot you back some notes. But if you have Gemini placements, for sure, there's like a little something going on for you in the next maybe 13 months.
Okay. All right. So where do we go from there?
From there. So on the 20th of May, the sun enters Gemini. And then just 3 days later, we have Venus conjoining Jupiter in Taurus and then shifting a few hours later into Gemini. So this is kind of a cute thing that happens. Venus and Jupiter are the two benefic planets that like to bring good things into our lives and say yes to things and bring all kinds of goodness. And they're going to be exactly conjoining each other in the last like degree-ish of Taurus before Jupiter and Venus both go into Gemini. So this is really like the bow on the present of what has happened in the Taurus part of our chart from October 2021 until now. We mentioned the sort of like raising of the ground, the planting of new seeds, sprouts potentially growing, especially throughout this month. And there's going to be a bow put on this right around the 23rd. It may happen, you know, a little sooner than that because we have Uranus in place. There may be some sudden unfolding of events. But essentially, Venus and Jupiter conjunction in Taurus is a really positive and nice, sweet little transaction that occurs. This would be, I would say, the second most important sort of opportunity day of the month. If you can use the 18th, I'd recommend that just because the sun is still in Taurus. And so you really have that true like stellium with all those energies. At this point, the sun will be in Gemini, but it's still just a really, really good opportunity moment for you to. I think this is where sort of like the manifesting period of the month is kind of coming to a close. And so this may even be a moment of profound gratitude. Or of investigation where you kind of discover and take stock of what's happened in the Taurus area of your chart. And you're like, okay, really, where am I at? What can I be grateful for? Where do I have to go from here? But it is just a general all-purpose good vibes transit. So if there was kind of anything you were wanting to use it for, almost anything you could do and get some goodness out of that.
Fantastic. Well, another day I'll have to mark off on the calendar and make sure that something happens. All right. So what's next? I guess we're coming up near the end of the month here.
Yeah, we are. So right after that Venus-Jupiter conjunction, the same day on the 23rd of May, just around 3:30 p.m. Central, Venus enters Gemini along with the sun. And just a couple days later, Jupiter as well. But this is going to be just the shifting of those energies. So Venus is a planet that represents our social interactions. It represents our relationships with other people, whether romantic or platonic, and it kind of talks to social norms, and it talks to art and aesthetics and everything we find pleasurable. So Venus is going to be coming hot off that Taurus part where she feels right at home, and into Gemini, which again is just a sign of curiosity and interest and sort of like blazing interest, like obsessing over something and then dropping it and then moving on to the next thing. And so I would imagine, especially as the planets start to slide into Gemini, that a lot of us are kind of going to be feeling that by the end of May, very creatively and intellectually sort of turned on and ready to go and interested and curious. I think the best advice I can give anyone, especially as a person with heavy Gemini placements, is not to fault yourself when you decide after 2 minutes that the thing you were obsessing about is not the thing you want to look at anymore. You know, just kind of go with those things. This is something I think people had to navigate in April as well, because Aries is very similar. But to ruthlessly follow your own excitement is a sacred endeavor. We don't need to shame that part of ourselves. And so that's something I think people are going to need to remember by the end of this month.
Well, it's going to be nice to have that enhanced mental focus. That's going to be good. I'm going to enjoy that for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And so right after that, on the 23rd of May as well, so this is the day kind of everything shifts, right? We have Venus entering Gemini. We have a full moon in Sagittarius, which is the sign that is opposite of Gemini, as that is how the full moons work. So this full moon is a nice and natural culmination. So we talked about May being a very good manifestation month. This full moon at the end of May is in Jupiter's sign. So that's kind of, we're getting into the nitty-gritty and a little bit of the jargon, but just to say that this is a great culmination, a natural built mountain place of energy that we can use to charge, or, you know, we can actually use to fuel us or do whatever we need, that is ruled by all those forces that helped us manifest all month. So I think that the true end of that manifestation period, while it may be on the May 20th, there's a really soft tail to it, where we have several other transits that are still kind of making that stuff go for us, even as the energy is shifting into a different direction and it's shifting into Gemini. So this full moon could be a really good celebration. It could be a very good way for you to kind of embody in your physical body those energies that you've kind of been feeling or theorizing about all month, or even sort of like ingesting them, like imagining all of that stuff you've been building up and manifesting, bringing it into your body, expanding yourself to make room for it. This could be a really good day for that. So that's the 23rd of May. A lot of stuff goes on. I think if I were going to do something with that, I would probably do it in the evening, so that all those changes had been made and all those movements had happened. And yeah, that could be a great full moon for celebrating the expansion of yourself.
It really is that process of building up over time, right? If you start on the 7th, I believe, with the new moon,
yeah,
you're manifesting and rising up to that full moon. That is a powerful process. And if you take advantage of all these opportunity placements along the way, wow, that can be a very powerful month.
Yeah, it's months like these where I am sad about how we used to do this on the new moon to full moon cycle, or the new moon to new moon cycle. You know, you really see those energetic signatures expose themselves when you look at the stars in terms of the moon. It is very wild. But of course, we are sort of shackled to the Gregorian calendar, and so we do what we can. But this is one of those where there's just a very clear cycle that's emerging for this month. And if you blink, you will miss it. And that doesn't mean that you won't, you know, be subject to the energies or that things aren't going to happen in your life. But I do think this is one of those where you can catch and ride this wave. And so definitely, you know, set some intentions on the 7th, do something cool, manifestation work on the 18th and kind of ride that out. This full moon is, as you mentioned, it's kind of like if you think about traditional witchcraft or something, like we are milling energy all month, or we could be, you know, if you're working from the new moon on, you are milling all that energy. And on that full moon, you could actually just swallow it all and digest it into your body if you wanted to. And that sounds pretty cool to me.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that new moon to full moon cycle, it's so important. And yes, it was cool when we were doing the episodes that way. Oh, Pope Gregory the 13th, you've cursed us all. But yeah, no, it's a very powerful cycle to work through. And I guess we're bound by the Gregorian calendar, but
it's so tough because it was so confusing. It made my mind quite discordant place to be, but it actually exposed spiritual knowledge even as we were doing it to both of us, I think. So if you can find a way to do that easily, or if you know of a good planner that goes around the moon cycles, definitely send me an email at the nine lives astrology@gmail.com. But yeah, no, I'm shackled to my beautiful Korean stationery Gregorian planner. It's my life.
Oh my. All right. So after that nice full moon, where do we go from there?
Final transit of the month on May 25th. And this is kind of a big transit. This was on our year ahead episode, so you can kind of go back and take a listen to that. But I'll explain a good amount of what we talked about here, which is that Jupiter spends about a year in each sign. And as I mentioned a little earlier in this very episode, Jupiter is a planet that has to do with expansion, higher learning, higher self, higher frequencies, expanding our horizons in every way. So that's like learning new things, meeting people from faraway places, traveling to faraway places, and abundance. Jupiter likes to say yes to things. I don't know if anyone else has noticed, but I feel like since Jupiter's been in Taurus, there's just been like a baby boom, for example. Jupiter loves to say yes to children in someone's life. And so I just feel like there's been such a little boom here. So anyway, I digress. But Jupiter will now enter Gemini. Gemini is interestingly both compatible and sort of incompatible with Jupiter, because Gemini is interested in the fine detail and in zooming in and kind of, again, following those impulses, right? So maybe we have this goal to finish this college degree program, but then we get really excited about this other random thing we're doing online. And so we end up not finishing that college degree program. So you can kind of see how there's like this incoherence. And that has to do with the essential dignity of the planets and where they are. But I do really believe that this is one of those where it's very, very assuageable. It is easy to, I guess not easy, but it is very, very possible to make this work in a way that some other planets that are indignified, it cannot work. there have been some really great examples of the sort of like Jupiter Mercury planetary dignity that has resulted in amazing results. Like, for example, my Angelou is one where I think she has her Mercury in Pisces. My Angelou didn't speak for the first few years of her life or an important period of her life, and then kind of ends up becoming one of the greatest poetic voices of all time. So I just give that as an example, and I think I'm kind of all over the place here in true Gemini fashion, but Jupiter is a planet of abundance, yes, saying all those good things that I mentioned, and it's entering into Gemini. So it'll be in the Gemini area of your chart for about a year until next June.
Okay.
And I can go ahead and go through and read by rising sign the houses, yeah, if you think
sure
that'd be
thing.
Helpful.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. So for Gemini risings, quite like yourself, Eric, it's going to be in the first house, which is an adorable transit. It's going to be bringing all of those good, abundant expansion energies right to your very self, your character, your personality, your body. This is a good transit. And it means that anything that aspects your ascendant is going to be aspecting Jupiter. and Jupiter is going to be transiting any planets you have there. So it's going to be bringing some good energy there. For Taurus risings, this is going to be happening in the second house. And so this is going to be looking like some kind of positive situation regarding your financial reality, your income, your material possessions as well. So Jupiter will be transiting in your second house for the next year. For Aries risings, this is happening in the third house, and the third house can have significations relating to the lives of your siblings or your relationship with your siblings. It also has a lot to do with communication. So writing or making artwork that is communicating, and it can have a lot to do with your daily commute, travel, like things that you do on a daily or weekly basis, your routine, your habits, whether that's school or traveling to and from work, that kind of stuff. I also want to mention that the third house kind of has some significations relating to spirituality on the personal level. So how you think about and feel about spirituality. Pisces risings, this is going to be happening in your fourth house. And the fourth house is really about your home and your domicile and your like living situation and domestic matters of all kind, including private worship in the home, but just things that go on in your house. And so this will, Jupiter coming in here for the next year is going to be bringing some opportunities for expansion relating to your house or your living situation. For Aquarius risings, this is going to be taking place in the fifth house. And the fifth house has a lot to do with creation in all its forms. So that has to do with creativity, things that we do for pleasures. So that can include sex, but it can also include hobbies and games, things that we do for fun. And the fifth house can also have to do with children. So I'll definitely say Aquarius risings, know that this would be the opportune time if there was ever going to be a surprise yes from the universe, and plan accordingly. Capricorn risings, this is going to be taking place in the sixth house. And the sixth house has to do with our body. It has to do with illness and injury, but also our physical wellness, our body image, any kind of relationships that we have with eating and food are there. Sixth house can also have to do with the grind of labor, things that we do for work, like the daily efforts of labor and intensive effort. So this is going to be bringing some light into those areas of our lives. Sagittarius risings, seventh house. Gemini governing your seventh house means that this is going to be bringing some, yes, expansion, abundance, and new horizons to the realm of your long-term personal relationships, primarily romantic relationships, but it can also have to do with long-term friendships, business partners, clients, and kind of any of those long-term relationships that we have in our lives. Scorpio risings, Gemini is in your eighth house. So Jupiter transiting the eighth typically looks like some abundance and expansion and yes saying relating to your relationship with other people's resources. So that is debts, investments, taxes, legal situations as well. And also just generally fears. I mean, I know that sounds very intangible, but I find that the eighth house really has a lot to do with our fears and our dread. And so Scorpio risings, you're going to be getting some relief in those areas. Libra risings, this is happening in the ninth house. And the ninth house is a house that is all about spiritual systems and higher education systems. So it is organized religion or organized spiritual groups, even if those are like witchcraft covens or things like that, orders. The ninth house also has to do with foreign travel or travel far away, not necessarily to another country, but just our expansive travel. And the ninth house can also have to do with higher education and in like a greater learning and also to some extent philosophy. So Libra risings, you've got some expansion coming there. Virgo risings, this is happening in your 10th house, and the 10th house is all about your career, your public eminence, and your kind of your life's work. So this can also have to do with child rearing, especially for women, Virgo rising, if you have children, But the 10th house is our eminence and really has to do with kind of like our life's work and our career. I only have two more. Leo rising. This is going to be happening in your 11th house, which is relating to friends, social situations, public groups you're a part of or alliances, social settings of any kind. So typically when I see a transit here, what's happening is a new and expanded friend circle, essentially. For Leo risings, this is actually also the site of what is called Jupiter's planetary joy. And so this will be an especially potent sort of transit that will kind of counteract some of the planetary dignity and debility issues we talked about earlier with Jupiter and Gemini. And so this is going to be a really expansive and even more positive transit for you, Leo risings. Cancer risings, finally, this is going to be happening in the 12th house. So the 12th house has to do with mental health, mental wellness, feelings of isolation and seclusion, hidden things, addiction, mental health. And so Jupiter is going to be shining a little bit of its light here for you, Cancer rising, and bringing a sense of expansive thought and abundance and yes saying into this 12th house, where some of our sort of like hidden things and like deeper, darker corners of our mental health sometimes are exposed. So that is pretty much every sign.
Fantastic. Very exhaustive list there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope everyone got something that they needed out of that. I hope everyone
stayed through.
Oh, I'm sure. They're just waiting with bated breath to get to their sign.
So totally. Yeah. Well, good. So all, yeah, in conclusion, Jupiter, even though Gemini is the sign of its adversity, it is going to be bringing kind of like good vibes to everyone for the year. And it's going to kind of tie everything up in that last bow before it ends and moves out of Taurus in May.
Fantastic. All right. So do we have anything else for the month of May?
No, actually, that Jupiter transit on the 25th of May is the final transit that I have. And so in summation, this month is a great time for milling up that manifestation energy, starting with the new moon on the 7th and kind of blazing through the rest of the month. We are all going to have this opportunity, but it's definitely going to go by pretty quickly. If your life is in a moment right here where you are, it's going by pretty quickly right now, I would not necessarily expect it to slow down. This month may have fewer transits, but the inertia of your life is going to keep moving. It might just collect some, you know, positive significations or some energy. If you are one of the few people I've met who had some major things stalling them out in April, that I would expect to be resolved. So I don't think if your life is in a stall, I don't think it's going to stay in a stall. But if it's moving, I don't know that it's going to slow down any. Good luck, though.
Fantastic. Well, everyone, let's start things off with this new moon on the 7th and take advantage of these opportunity periods. And let's have a really good full moon this month. This could be great. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely send me any eclipse stories or any thoughts you have. I'm always happy to answer any questions as well. It's fun, and I have appreciated people asking me those questions about the eclipses and stuff. So you can find me on Instagram at @9Lives Astrology or that same address at gmail.com.
Fantastic.
And one last note is that my books are closed right now. I guess I should have said that probably at the beginning, but I have my books closed. I am one of those people whose life is rolling quickly and is probably not going to stop for a little while. So I have those books closed until sort of like the early mid week of June. I am also going to be at NORWAC, which is the Northwest Astrological Conference. And I'm very excited about that. That's happening in Seattle at the end of this month. Coincidentally, right as all those planets roll into Gemini, wouldn't you believe it? So
it's almost like it's a conference that was created by a whole bunch of astrologers.
Yeah, <it's laughs>
perhaps
crazy.
That played something into choosing the date.
Crazy. Yeah, I was on, you know, the wait list, and they emailed me and they were like, you know, you're probably not going to get it. And I was like, I can see the astrology. I know I'm going to get this ticket. I can see what's happening, and it did happen. So I'll be there. If anyone's going to be there or lives in the Seattle area or, you know, wants to get a coffee or something, send me an email. Otherwise, I'll just be tweeting. Oh God, why did I say tweeting? I don't even have a Twitter. I haven't had a Twitter in ages. That's how insidious these things are. I'll be Instagramming as though that's any better from Norwalk. So if you have any questions or anything, as always, reach out.
Fantastic. Well, I'll have all your links down in the show notes below. So if anyone wants to contact you, they know where to find you. Awesome. Well, Blair, thank you so much for another wonderful astrology report. And I'm looking forward to this month of May now. I have to say, all the trepidation is gone. So
no, it's going to be good for you because you're Gemini rising. I mean, by the end of this month, you're going to be in a good spot. And all those Taurus things are going to hit you in the 12th, which is a place that needs light and love to grow. So
excellent. Well, I hope everyone else is as happy with your report as I am. So awesome. Well, you have an excellent day, Blair, and always a pleasure.
Thanks, Eric. You too. Ciao.